Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Howie, I need 315 on, you know, boots.
Yeah.
And boom, Howard Cosell would go, no clock, hit it at 315. And you, it was it's astonishing. It's a great gift. Costas comes close to that, but I've never seen anybody else that can do it.
Just
like
tell me when to go.
That's exactly right. And get out of the way. And how, on anything, it didn't matter what it was. Do you want to hear about dinner last night with Emmy?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty, then, we're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights, in a district of Columbia that will be nice today and will be inundated by snow and rain tomorrow, apparently. Some local news. We are a Notre Dame bar for football.
That's right.
That's what we are. We've got the bright gold helmet. We've got the flag. On Saturday afternoon, the Notre Dame Club of Washington is going to be in here, and they're going to be watching Notre Dame against Syracuse, which will be Notre Dame's last big test, because USC isn't very good this year.
No, they're not.
So if they can beat Syracuse, and it's at Yankee Stadium, and it's one of the few times Notre Dame is a home team wherever it goes, basically. And it is a home team. But if there is any school in the New York area that gets any traction at all in football over a long period of time, it is Syracuse. Though I don't know if that extends downward to Yankee Stadium. And you don't have to go to Yankee Stadium because you can come here.
Yes.
You can mingle with the Notre Dame people and probably the Syracuse people as well.
Notre Dame wearing cool pinstripe uniforms in Yankee Stadium on Saturday.
That is cool.
I'm not spilling the beans there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So good for you to know that.
So Lizza can't be happy with this decision.
No, he cannot be. He cannot be. We're back here Monday. We're not here Thursday or Friday.
Yes.
We will do a podcast Friday, but it will be from Chicago. Gary Braun is here. Jeannie McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will produce the show. Run the board, do the news. We're an all-betting show today. We're getting all the betting
exactly
in.
Exactly when did this show become a sports book? I was away for a couple of months, and when I came back,
coincides with when the restaurant started losing money, which was the day Tony bought it.
Well, I mean, I think you ought to just face it and turn this into a sports book.
Well, legalized betting now changes a lot of things.
Yeah.
It changes, and legalized marijuana changes a lot of things.
Change the name to Bet the Kvetch.
We'd like to get high and bet here in the near future.
Make some reckless bets.
The great Bill Isaacson is here, and the president of Binghamton University, Harvey Stenger, is here, though he's on the phone somewhere, and he will come into the studio whenever he gets a chance. He's on the phone in the back, but Karen will let him in because he's got phone calls to make. There are two, to me, consequential sports stories to start with today. The first one is less consequential in the immediate term and more consequential in the long term, and that is the NFL moving the Monday night football game. We found out about this yesterday at about 4:45. We were ready to start taping the show at about 4:45. And one of the stories we had in the show, which we dumped, by the way, at that point, the story which we dumped was the Buffalo Bills mercifully cutting the Peterman. And the question was just going to be, do you think someone else will pick him up? It's going to be a pretty lightweight story. It was at the end of the A's. It was not going to be a real big deal. Okay. The story comes in. Now, we've been waiting all day for something on the field at Estadio Azteca was said to be chewed up by a Shakira concert, chewed up by a bunch of soccer games, chewed up to where there were concerns that it wasn't going to be ready for next Monday night's football game. This is on a Tuesday, so you got 7 days, but and they're laying sod, by the way.
Yeah.
There are pictures yesterday of them laying brand new sod on this field. So if you're laying brand new sod on the entire field, you're saying that what we got is not good enough.
Although the sod was the size of a bath mat, and as they're putting down each little rectangle, it was going to take a while.
Yeah,
yeah,
but it wouldn't take more than a day.
Well, I don't know.
They have a lot of people working.
Hard to find good help these days.
They have a lot of people working. In any case, we were sort of under the impression that there was a certain amount of resistance by players and or teams to playing this game in Mexico City. This is not the first time Monday Night Football has gone to Mexico City. It's not the first time the NFL has gone to Mexico City. The NFL can only be expansionist in very few areas because football is not a worldwide sport. It is not basketball. It's not a worldwide sport. It's not even hockey. It's basically played here and Canada. That's it. So you go to London, where there are enough people who care about it to fill the stadium 3-4 times a year, and maybe Jacksonville has as many as 4 games there, maybe. And you go to Mexico City, where there's interest in American football.
Which is a shorter trip for some NFL teams than some
London.
NFL.
London,
well,
yeah.
Than some NFL teams even going east to west.
From Seattle to New England is it's shorter.
Or Miami, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the story breaks that it's over. And now this came out of the blue. And the reporting indicates that players on both teams, because it was just one team, I don't think they would have done it. Players on both teams were upset with the condition of the field and didn't want to go. How much of this is, honestly, I don't want to go to Mexico City? I don't know. I can't tell you that. But there's a reason that they don't have to go because the field is bad. We get up. We do the story. Wilbon attacks the players for being soft. Players are soft. You know, because there are bad fields in the United States of America, and just suck it up and play. I take the entirely opposite position, which is this is a great victory for players. Because the NFLPA gets involved, they actually make inroads with the NFL, which wants to hold this game. And probably what they do, because if it was me, what I would do is I would say, you say safety's important? Well, then let's not play this game here. Because the field we have in L.A., because it's a home game for the Rams, the field we have in L.A. may not be the greatest field in the world, but it's going to be safer than that. And we'll take our chances on that field. And apparently Kansas City, because it is an L.A. Rams home game. Now, Kansas City gets an advantage if it's not an actual home game, if it's a nominal home game and played somewhere else. But I take the position, wow, this is a big deal. I find out last night from someone whose name I will not reveal, who's close with people in the negotiations, that the players threaten to boycott.
Wow.
Well, you can't have that. Wow. That is the great leverage of the players. This is what is talked about for the Super Bowl or the playoffs sometimes, that there was, if not an explicit, an implicit threat to boycott. And I sit here this morning and I think this is a really good thing for players.
Based on the reported condition of the field.
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Because they hadn't seen it.
Right.
But the NFL pulled the plug. The NFL had seen it. And the NFL pulled the plug, and I'm just curious what you think about that.
I think the players smartly played the big card that they have, and that is injury. And remember when FedEx Field was so torn up.
They sprayed it with green paint. And that was
one of the games where RG3 hurt his leg.
Have you seen where Oakland plays? It's a baseball field.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
That's not even a football field. There is no grass on the infield. You know, there's on the base pass.
The old vet with the Eagles played?
Yeah, with the turf, where people got injured all the time.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
But if you're going to say our most important concern is safety, and they caved, what do you make? They caved.
So hearing the news that the players were threatening to boycott, which I was not aware of.
Well, I'm told that. Or that has report, not been reported. That,
okay.
My
knee-jerk, and this is perhaps nonsensical and conspiratorial, but I wondered to what extent was this the league saying, you know, we love exporting these games, but this game?
The big game.
This year's game of the century?
Big game, yeah,
do we
maybe.
Really want to send
this
that
the biggest
to Mexico
game of the year.
I mean, that was
two
my
nine and one teams.
That was my first reaction to it,
you know,
before I saw the headline pushed to my phone.
I can't speak for ESPN. But it would not surprise me if ESPN was just fine not going to Mexico City, where it's harder to do the game than it is in L.A.
Wouldn't, with the possible exception of Kansas City, wouldn't everyone be fine with this game staying in Los Angeles?
I would think.
Well, I don't know what the NFL's priorities are.
Well, the NFL wants foreign markets.
I'm pretty sure they're the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, but they want foreign. This is my point. They want foreign markets.
Yeah, they do. So I don't know.
You bring up an interesting point about people who made travel plans.
But I guess my point is this. Atlanta Raiders in Mexico City, is that any different for the people of Mexico City? I mean, they just want a game.
That's right.
Right? So it's like, that's why Jacksonville goes to, I mean, that London. And their proximity, but that's why Jacksonville goes to London 4 times a year. I just thought as a fan, not of either of these teams, but as a fan who does this for my teams, as someone who sees a cool road game and says, hey, we're hitting the road. Can you imagine if you're from LA or Kansas City and for 3 months or 6 months you've booked a hotel and airfare and you're going to Mexico City for
and
this
now
game?
What?
Now, not only are you going to Mexico City, but you're missing the game.
Yeah, there's no game.
Well, you can still catch it on TV down there.
To which Tony's response was, and I love this, well, you just don't go.
Just don't go.
And I'm like, it's no, that's deal. Not how it works if you've dropped a couple grand on
the
trip.
Get the money back.
Try getting a refund. Well,
but at my age, we don't pay for the travel insurance.
No, you do that thing that they do when you don't want your timeshare anymore.
Yeah,
you
but
say,
no,
get me out of my timeshare.
When you're not Tony Kornheiser and you've booked an airplane ride, you don't just say, I'm not going.
Yeah,
to get my money back.
You're not very like forgiving.
You don't buy the insurance?
No, I do not.
I buy it every time.
Yeah.
We're the same age.
All right.
Okay, well, yeah.
One other story.
I'm more committed, I guess.
Short term, really intrigue. This is the Golden State story. This is the benching and public suspending of Draymond Green, an all-star player, a leader on that team for longer than Kevin Durant. Been there for a year or two, longer than Kevin Durant has been there. They got into a little spat at the end of the game the other night, end of regulation. Kevin Durant just says, give me the ball. And Draymond Green goes, I'd rather dribble
it off my foot.
Yeah, I'm going to dribble it up the court because I'm an all-star. See what I can do. And it ended badly. And Durant was by him just clapping, give me the ball, give me the ball. And then when Draymond Green didn't give him the ball, Durant just sort of stayed there. He trailed the play. He didn't try to be in position to make a play. I would have sided with Draymond Green in that particular moment because I think Draymond Green is a pretty good player and he's earned the right to try to do that. It was his rebound. But in any case, I never in a million years thought it would get to this where the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr on board, suspended Draymond Green for the game last night. Suspended him. I can't think of any reason to do this other than to placate Kevin Durant. And to try to keep him from going as somewhere else as a free agent. Because other than that, what is there? Why are you doing this? Why are you publicly humiliating one of the guys who's been a core leader on your team? And a hothead. A total hothead. He's been a hothead.
He doesn't let things go.
No, he's a hothead. Yeah. But this is 15 times a year he does this. Mm-hmm. Why now? Suspend him?
Well,
I think you get into dicey territory.
You have to look at when Durant joined that team and think, are there too many divas, too many alphas on one court? And I don't think
they won two championships.
Yes, I know. And I don't think we'll look back on this and go, oh, that was the moment when Golden State began to crumble. I don't think that at all.
No, they'll win the championship.
But I think this must be representative of something more going on.
Well, there is a history here. I mean, these guys have gotten into it on the sideline before. And they're definitely...
And won two championships together.
Yes.
So they overcame it,
yes,
which is what you do with workers.
This is true, but this one appears to be, based on the reporting, a little bit different in that it trickled into the locker room and it drew reaction from guys.
But
a lot of words were exchanged, and Klay Thompson reportedly, who is a very quiet type, sort of stood up. I mean, I kind of trust Steve Kerr here. I don't think, and I'm not suggesting you were saying this, but I don't think his intent is to embarrass Draymond Green. I think this guy understands the pulse of his team and realizes there's something
special
here.
He's been on teams with Michael Jordan.
Right.
Michael Jordan got in fights with everybody, including Steve Kerr.
Right.
They fought. They physically fought. I don't believe anybody was suspended, and they won three championships together in 3 years, which is how that works.
And sometimes, look, I have two boys at home. They fight. Sometimes it's an issue. Sometimes it isn't.
Right.
You know, so I just think in this sense, he understood this is, I mean, to Jeannie's point, Draymond Green is not a guy who's going to necessarily just take his medicine and say, okay, well, I understand.
He's a volatile man.
Yes.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, he's not
he's
someone
Tom
to just
Wilson.
Shut up and take it.
They haven't done this before. They have not publicly done this before. I think the ramifications from this are more possible than the ramifications of not doing anything, because Kevin Durant's going to leave one way or the other.
When you say they've not publicly done this, you mean in suspending?
Suspension.
Okay, yeah.
I think Draymond Green will think of this as a big public humiliation.
He strikes me as that kind of guy. So down the road, what you think is, well, maybe they're setting it up to try and keep Durant and get rid of Draymond Green. But
we'll
I think Draymond
we'll take him
Green.
Here. He can, he
I think
can
Draymond
the
Green
wizard.
Is that archetypal glue guy. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's really valuable. I think with Curry and Thompson and Durant and no Draymond Green.
Who's going to do the work?
I don't think they're nearly as good. And Andre Iguodala, who's another guy like that, is like 50 years old now. And he's nearing the end. So anyway, so those are the two big stories.
That's worth keeping eyes on. Like, think you've heard the last of that story?
No.
I do not.
You want to watch that next game for that chemistry. Yeah.
Those are the two big stories we can talk about. I also want to mention Chuck Fuqua, who came here with a whole bunch of lovely paper products, including folders for people and pads of paper. And they're really nice, and I appreciate
that. We are people came in from Alexandria. Here.
We are. Yeah. Not people of the book.
No, we are people of the paper.
So we will get out of here now, and we will come back with Chuck Todd.
That's right.
He's ready to go.
I believe he is,
fantastic.
Yes.
He's Chuck Todd.
He's on fire.
Killing it.
38-29-3.
That's pretty good.
Let's just get that tote board up over the bar.
Honestly, let's get rid of Meet the Press, and let's just open up
a book. Embrace it.
We'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
So I did a bunch of sports, and now we'll do the SeatGeek ad because it logically follows. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated. With hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability, it's hard to know who to trust. That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget, like to a Golden State game where you can sit now next to Draymond Green, who's wearing a suit because he's not there. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to source for every ticket from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Michael, have the app on the phone, don't you?
I have the app. I'm looking at it right now. $15 lower bowl to go see Cavaliers play the Zards tonight.
Cavaliers. $15 downstairs.
$15. That's what LeBron James leaving a team will do.
56.
It'll take you from 250 to 15.
$56 to see the Jeannie raved about Ferryman at Bernard Jacobs Theater in New York.
That's
the
one
she just saw in love.
Just $56?
Not to get in. I mean,
this play is the most exciting play I have ever seen in my whole life.
So go to SeatGeek. Do it right now. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast get $20. So that makes those seats $36
to see a Broadway
show.
Or if
your first SeatGeek purchase, just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. Enter the promo code Tony today. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Eric French in Frederick, Maryland, who writes fourth time, long time. With all the biblical rain we've been having, I thought I'd send this song along called Noah for your review. The next time Luke Russert graces Chatter's door, maybe have him ruminate on why our region has been pummeled by rain this year. He knows the meaning of life after having a monkey steal his sunglasses and sell them back to him. So he'll definitely at least have a theory. Regards and love to the huddle and to Nigel, of course, who makes the world go around. Again, this is Noah, is the name of the song, Eric French from Frederick, Maryland. Lovely, lovely. Plays in Chuck Todd, on fire lately. What is it, Gary? 15-6 in his last 3 weeks?
Yes, sir.
38-29-3. If you're going down the line with Chuck Todd, you're making money. You want to explain this hot streak? You want to have some sense of this for us?
I think it's a combination of blind luck and, an amphetamine habit that keeps up.
No new proprietary algorithm or anything, Chuck?
Yeah, no, I'd like to think it's something, and it's my gold star, and I'm ready to, partner with Brent Musburger in my next life,
It's fantastic.
That is my dream.
Who needs Meet the Press when you can make this kind of money?
That's right. If I could go with Brent Musburger, if I could partner with him, we start betting on political outcomes. I look forward to that.
All right, here we go. Here are some games. Green Bay is at Seattle. That's Thursday night, isn't it? That's a Thursday night game?
Yes.
That's right. Tomorrow night.
Hail Mary rematch.
Green Bay at Seattle. Aaron Rodgers is great, but he doesn't have great around him, and they really need to win this game. Seattle.
It's a playoff elimination.
I think it is. I think it's a playoff game. I really do. Yeah. Green Bay getting 2.5. What do you got?
That's a tough place to play. I love that Green Bay found its running game again, but I like Seattle at home here. I fear they've figured it out in Green Bay hats. They have a little bit more than Green Bay has.
You've taken all home teams, Chuck. I'm going to point that out.
Oh, my God. One for one on the home teams. Here we go.
All right. Dallas is at Atlanta. Dallas had this big road win on Sunday over the Eagles, which we think is a big road win, unless the Eagles stink like Dallas, like the New York Giants. Atlanta collapsed, right? Wasn't Atlanta beaten by somebody by a lot?
Crushed by Cleveland, right?
Cleveland beats Atlanta. Atlanta is a ridiculous...
Well, you know what happens. Once you play the Redskins, it just takes you a while to recover.
That burgundy and gold hangover.
The old Redskin hangover, yeah.
So Dallas, which got running and got passing, Dallas looked very good. They looked very good in Philadelphia, but they're a bad team. Atlanta's probably a bad team, too. This is interesting. 3.5. Who you got?
I just don't trust Dallas to do this two times in a row. So this is really a bet against Dallas, not necessarily on Atlanta.
Right.
The Atlanta at home, because I just don't believe in Dallas. Two games in a row. They do this, then, you know, maybe they can make their run to win the NFC.
No. The Redskins are going to win it. They're two games up in a bad division in a sinkhole. They're going to win it.
Well, the Giants did win the other night.
The Giants are terrible. Minnesota, supposed to be a very good to great team this year. Hasn't shown that yet. Again, Chuck, are you going to... It sounds like Larry King on the other side here.
Go to Duke.
Yeah.
I heard you guys reminiscing about that the other day. I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before. That was me, man. I was an insomniac. I love the guy.
Did you listen to him all the time?
All the time, and when I moved to Washington, D.C., the first thing I had to do was go to Duke Zebert's.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was about.
Like Bagel City.
He used to close every show, I'll see you, Dukes. Come to Dukes.
Yeah, it was one of the thrills of my life to be on his show.
First time I went to Duke Zebert's, Jack Kent Cook was actually there.
Oh,
it was like,
he had that
it
table.
It was like one of those, it was like, wow, Washington, it really is exactly what you hear about it on the radio.
Funny.
There was Jack Kent Cook.
If only you had your French horn with you at that point.
Yes.
If only. Minnesota, supposed to be better than they are, at Chicago, not supposed to be as good as they have looked. This is a pretty interesting game, a divisional game. Minnesota, I never thought I'd see this year, Minnesota getting 3 at Chicago.
But it's at Chicago.
Yep.
And they have a week, I believe they had a week off, right? Minnesota was the bye week last week?
Yes.
Minnesota was, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like them here. I like them a lot here. I like them getting points. I feel like they're not a good favorite yet, but them getting points and, you know, I'm just not there in Trubisky. You just can't be. So
Wilbon beginning to love Trubisky.
Yeah, which means he's due for a meltdown game.
Yeah,
right?
probably one
that's on him. Yeah.
Okay. Philadelphia getting 8. Philadelphia is the defending Super Bowl champions. Philadelphia getting 8 at New Orleans. New Orleans has looked great lately. This is a year where I don't know that you can look great every single... That's a lot of points for Philadelphia, which now needs to win. And they're the defending Super Bowl champions. Are you tempted?
I am tempted by 8 points. That's a lot. But I got burned. I thought New Orleans was going to have their letdown week. Now they're back at home. They don't let down at home very often. And Philly, I'm tired of waiting for them to get over the hangover. So I'm out. Give me the Saints. I'm out on the Eagles. I think this thing is a lost season. Forget the lost first half. Lost season. Give me the Saints.
Okay. Here's one. Here's a number that surprises me a little. Tennessee, which looked very good. Tennessee at Indy. Tennessee getting 2.5. I'm surprised at that. Who do you like?
I love this. I think this is actually one of the sneaky better games on the board. I mean, obviously, it's the Rams and the Chiefs and everybody else.
Yeah.
This is a really – it's actually a pretty important game for that division. The Colts are a pretty good bad team, if you know what I mean by that. They're, you know, they just are in every game. I don't think Tennessee wins back-to-back. Give me the Colts.
Really?
Yeah,
I think
it's gonna be high. By the way, this will probably be somewhat high scoring. Could be a high scoring game too.
I think Mariota, when healthy, is very good.
Luck has played really, really
well. Yes, he has.
48.5, Chuck, your total on that game. So Vegas would agree. That's higher than average, I would say.
That is. It's because India has no defense, but they just hang around.
Well, but Tennessee is the number one defense. They're the number one defense in the league. Tennessee.
They just did to Brady and the Pats. Yeah.
Well, but you know, that's explicable because Vrabel, you know, understands that offense very well.
Yeah, but only 151 points allowed for the Titans, which is the lowest, at least in that conference. Haven't looked at the AFC.
I think they're the number one overall defense
you're right.
in the league.
Scoring, they are.
I think so. All right, big game and new setting. It was always a nominal home game for the Los Angeles Rams. Now it's an actual home game for the Los Angeles Rams. And I opened the show just saying that I felt this was an enormous victory for the players to get this thing moved, because the NFL wants to be in foreign cities if they can be, because they'd like to emulate basketball, which of course they can't, but they would like to move this game. Real big deal to me. Kansas City goes up 1 point. Kansas City getting 3.5 at the Rams. Your thoughts about all of it?
First of all, if this were the Tennessee Colts game, do you think it had gotten moved?
No chance. No chance.
The only reason this game gets moved is that it features the NFL's precious next generation of stars.
Okay.
Right? If this were, again, Tennessee and Indy, or what else is this week? Chicago, Minnesota. I don't think they'd be worrying about Mitch Trubisky or worrying about Kirk Cousins. They're worried about Mahomes, and he tears an ACL and ruins his career on bad Mexican soil. This feels like that's why they did the panic.
That'll be the end of NAFTA.
By the way, there's a great stat about the Rams. They're the first team to start off either 9-0 or 9-1 to have a losing record against the spread.
Is that right?
That's crazy.
Yes, they're a terrible team against the spread. The first great team to be terrible. First time since 2003. Every other team that started off either like 8-0, 9-0, 9-1 had a winning record against the spread against the Rams. So I'm going to dine out on that small anecdote and use it to take the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs as the dog in L.A. and give me Mahomes over Goff.
So we had this question yesterday. Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Reed and Mahomes or McVay and Goff? And I said, can I have McVay and Mahomes? Can I have those two?
Can you imagine?
That was a good debate, yeah.
Can I have those two?
Yeah.
And they said, no. And I took McVay. I took the coach over the player just because I sort of like the arc of what he's doing so far, which I'm sure you do too, Chuck.
Yeah. Hey, Bill Simmons had a fun little idea. He said, what if the Cowboys offered the Rams 4 first-round draft picks for McVay? If you were the Rams, would you do it? 4 first-round draft picks over the next 8 years.
I don't know. No. I don't know that I would do it because they had a lot of – look, they had Goff with Jeff Fisher. And, you know, I don't know that you can get the coach you want. Maybe you can. Maybe you can, but they identified him pretty smartly.
No one thinks Goff is the next anyone. That's not what the talk is about.
It's about
it is around Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, a last game, Houston against Washington. 2-6-3 teams. Houston has won 6 in a row. The Redskins continue to win games in a baffling way. And the statistic that is most interesting about the Redskins, of course, if they score first, they win. If they don't, they lose. And it has not changed in 9 games so far. Houston, a pretty good team. Weather's supposed to be pretty good in Washington over the weekend. Houston is a 3-point favorite, which surprises me. It does.
Well, haven't they won? Like, what have they won? 6 in a row?
6 in a row. The Redskins have 6 wins.
6 in a row?
Yeah.
But look at that. Look at that win. What was it? I mean, they gave up more yardage than any team has ever given up while only giving up 3 points.
It was an odd win.
What they pulled off is actually amazing. You know, that's something they ought to make a trophy for. I'm going to sit. This feels like what I said last week. I don't trust either team as a favorite.
Right.
Which is why I took the Redskins last week.
Chuck, you've won on the Redskins. You've picked the proper side of the Redskins game 3 weeks running.
I know.
Now. Yeah.
I know.
That's pretty impressive.
Got me nervous because I'm going to take the Redskins again at home as a home dog.
Wow.
I know.
You just sighed. You already hate the bet.
Well, right. I hate the bet, but I didn't want to put the money on Houston either. I mean, look, this isn't real. I wouldn't put real money on this game because it's a good line and two impossible teams to figure out. I'm sorry. They're impossible to figure out week to week.
15
you feel good
and
about
6.
You feel good about the Texans every week?
No.
We were firing their head coach 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. If they had lost
in the playoffs.
You're right. If they had lost the fourth game, I would have fired him 100%. You're 15-6 in the last 3 weeks. That's great. Good for you.
It's it's scary. It's scary. I'm now I feel more nervous about these picks. I feel like, oh, I got to keep it up.
Stay loose.
Does this mean I'll get a new? Does this mean a new contract, or am I going to get a franchise tender again?
Yeah, you're going to be Le'Veon Bell. We're going to franchise
you. I'm pretty sure how you guys are going to handle the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you end the season with a winning record, it's your last. It's way more entertaining when you're getting crushed.
Thank you, Chuck.
Josh told me. He said that was it. All right. Good luck.
Talk to you. Chuck Todd, boys and girls. Again, why would you ask him about Meet the Press? Who cares compared to this? This is what we're here for. And if we gave you just Chuck Todd, that would be enough, but we give you more.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo, 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 zoo. Reginald's got the vikes, I too. Sometimes he throws his poo, poo, poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
All right, what did you do?
I actually wasn't able to go down to the zoo last night, so I went very early this morning.
Very early.
And Reginald was busy putting out salt and sand, putting chains on his snow tires, all that stuff, winterizing his, it's not really a cage, it's more of a flat that he has there. Yeah. It's a really nice thing. But he took some time away from that because, he knows how important this is. The first game we gave him was the game tomorrow night, the Green Bay getting 2.5 at Seattle. And he pulled out his iPad, as he likes to do, and he showed me an old video clip of him, a very young Reginald, diagramming the power sweep for an also very young Vince Lombardi.
You get a seal here.
Yes,
you get a seal here.
Right there. So clearly, I think Reginald might be, the architect of the power sweep for those great Green Bay tag teams. So he will.
That's an interesting game.
Oh, sure.
My heart tells me to go with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's where he's going.
So, he's pretty good in big games.
Yeah.
He'll take the Packers with the 2.5. Now, the next game we gave him, he was very excited. The next game we gave him was Tennessee getting 2.5 at Indianapolis. And this was another photograph. It had to be from the early 70s, I think. This was him hanging in Graceland with Elvis Aaron Presley, having TV dinners in the Jungle Room, I believe watching Bonanza. So he clearly has ties
and
to
eating
bananas.
Bananas.
Oh, yeah,
peanut butter.
Banana sandwiches. Yeah, banana sandwiches. So he will take, he's got ties to Tennessee. So he will take Tennessee with the 2.5. And then this last game, I thought he was going to take the Redskins this game because I know he used to eat at Duke Siebert's with Jack Kent Cook and Larry King. But no, he showed me a photograph of him playing horseshoes and grilling with Bill Verdon, J.R. Richard, and Vern Rule, all old Astros.
He's taking three road teams?
Yes, he is.
He was 1-2 last week. He's 13-16 and
one. He's still a perfect week away from 500.
No, he's got to shake it up. So he feels good this week.
So I remember once at Duke Siebert's, late in the game, eating with Larry King. It was take your daughter to work day. It was a long time ago.
Story.
I took Elizabeth, and Larry ordered the Duke salad.
I love the Duke salad.
And half of it ended up on Elizabeth's face and clothes, because Larry, as he talked, would spit. And these small little pieces of lettuce and the rest of the Duke salad.
Didn't you say something like, didn't you have fun, Lizzie? And she's like, no. He threw his salad at me.
No, she thought he was a dope.
Remember when you walked in, Andy Siebert was at the front desk.
Always, the maitre d'.
He always said, hi, how are you? How many in your party? That was all he said, not welcome to Duke's. Hi, how are you? Yeah. How many in your party?
That was Duke Siebert. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will have news and allegedly
James
Carville with a phone that might work if he actually spoke into it.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the bespoke post ad. You know what's in this holiday season? Selfishness. Why buy an ugly sweater for a distant uncle when you can buy something awesome for yourself? Specifically, Bespoke's Post's Box of Awesome. A box of awesome is my favorite way to treat myself every month. And it wants me to, in my own words, describe the box of awesome we received. Well,
I just
got one the other day with a very nice DOP kit. And because I want everybody to share in this, I gave Nigel that.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Nice, right?
Yes, I'm taking it with me on the road this
week. And I got some chopping knives.
Yes.
And you didn't need them. Obviously, Elizabeth doesn't need them. So I've kept them. I've kept the chopping knives because I thought that was a very sort of random pairing. Knives and a dop kit. But I really,
it's awesome.
I'm very happy about it.
Well, you normally spread those boxes out over, say, a couple of months.
What do you mean?
Well, like you would not necessarily go kitchen and grooming products in the same box.
Oh, right. I thought that just sort of showed up.
I think they were playing catch up in your instance.
Yes.
It was really nice. So I was happy with that. And it's just a, it's such a great tagline. Visit boxofawesome.com. Answer a few short questions that will help them determine the boxes that fit you best. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. The first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details. If you're not feeling that month's box, simply skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars to weekender bags to classy dop kits that Nigel has, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter code Tony at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. The code is Tony, 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, theme boxes for guys who give a damn.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Evan Mock in Hershey, Pennsylvania. As a daily listener of the pod, I wanted to promote the original music of my dear friend Brett Altman of Hoboken, New Jersey.
Like it.
To prevent Nigel's imminent deportation for the violation of federal copyright law, Brett emailed me both his music and his permission to share with the show. Brett Altman has been performing publicly for about 8 years and since our college days at Penn State, but has released several original singles that have debuted on Spotify and Apple Music in recent months. A self-proclaimed late bloomer, Brett would describe his musical stylings as an upbeat fusion of pop, rock, and soul. You can catch a show in Hoboken or New York City and check out Brett Altman Music for more information. Do we have a sense of what the name of this song is?
Vacancy Signs.
Vacancy Signs.
Yes.
And Michael, if people like Brett Altman want to, or Brett Wiskons, who we had on yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
If they want to send in original music that we can play in its entirety after the podcast, what do they do?
Share your music with the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
Good. So we're going to, this is news. We called in the break. We called Carville, and Carville had no sense that he was supposed to be on the show, even though he's on the show all the time. And so he's got to study some lines. And this gives me an opportunity, before we go to news, to introduce Harvey Stenger to people. He's the president of Binghamton University. He is responsible, and I say that, and I don't know if that's good or bad, for me having a doctorate from Binghamton, which is the only doctorate I ever want, Doctor of Humane Letters. And I hope to embarrass the school whenever I can. You are down here for...
Some visits with alums, saying thank you to them, like you, for all the great
work. Say thank you to me.
With all the great work that they've been doing. And we actually have an event tonight at the Army-Navy Club, an alumni event tonight that I think you're going to be at.
I don't think so, no? But we'll talk about that afterwards.
Harvey, we don't discuss his social schedule on the air.
My schedule changed, but I know that it's the Whistler. You've got to tell the people about this.
Yes, Chris Ullman, who is a lobbyist for Cisco, is a nationally famous whistler, if that's possible to be a famous whistler. But he can whistle anything. He does the national anthem. He does.
He performs as a whistler.
He performs as a whistler.
Wow. Now, is there a big
can
call?
Can he do zippity doo dah? No one whistles
big
that
big call for whistling.
No. So yeah. That you can be really good at it.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of competition. But he's got a great website. You should go. No. You should maybe go and watch him whistle. He's a really nice guy, too.
No, he doesn't even have to give a whistle concert. If he wants to come here and whistle some morning, we would be happy to have him.
He cannot just whistle Dixie, though.
No, can't whistle Dixie.
No, he'll do whatever you want. He'll take requests.
By the way, this is amazing to me. I got an email last night from Morgan, whose last name I'm blanking on now, who works at Binghamton.
Yes, Morgan Keenan.
With the words to the fight song. I didn't know we had a fight song. Do you know we have a fight song?
We do have a fight song. The author is Mo Taylor, and it pretty much has the words go be you.
That's, you know,
over and over
go
again.
Green, go white, or something like that. It sounds like it was written last night.
It's the music that's important. The music's important. The words aren't that important.
Actually, like go be you, there's sort of a double entendre there.
Be you.
I don't know if that's
don't
intended,
be
but
me.
Be yourself.
Be
you.
So the big news for me is that I'm going to Chicago, and I'm going, Wilbon and I, in what may be the first and last PTI Classic. It's Binghamton University against Northwestern University. This will be on Friday night at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN News. We couldn't get the big channels. We're up the road a little bit on ESPN News. I think we're going to get crushed. I mean, come on. We're an America East team against a Big Ten team. But what are your thoughts about this, and what are your hopes for
this? Well, I'm excited that you and Michael are going to be there to represent the both universities. It's
in sweatshirts.
It's kind of a unique, because you guys are always battling on the air about who's the better school academically.
Oh, Binghamton's better academically. Yes. It's just the unknown.
We don't argue about the athletic part, but we argue about the academic part.
Although he can now claim, with justification, U.S. News & World Report has Northwestern in the top 15. They're number 15 this year. Ooh. That's wonderful. I mean, and Northwestern is a great school. Mm-hmm. We don't want to denigrate Northwestern, but we have some pretty good rankings, too, for an almost unknown public school.
Well, 32nd public university in the country.
That's pretty good. We've beaten out a lot of teams.
One of the ones that I love to talk about is the average SAT score of our freshmen is fifth in the country out of all public universities.
Wow. Wow. So we got to be ahead of some good schools then.
Well, the only ones who are ahead of us are Georgia Tech, Virginia, Berkeley, and William & Mary.
So wait, so we're ahead of UCLA?
Everybody
and
else.
Michigan?
Everybody
and
else.
Wisconsin?
Everybody.
Eat it. That is wonderful.
Do you know that number?
1370.
Wow.
That's nice. Great. You should take some credit for that.
We do. We take a lot of credit for that. But it's because we have a lot of smart kids who come from Long Island.
That's exactly right. But unlike what you want, I was an English major. You have no regard for English majors.
No, they're wonderful.
You once said, we don't have to give you any money.
They add
you
culture.
Can sit in a dark room and read a book. You've said that to me.
We don't even need to have a classroom for the English majors. They go outside and sit underneath a tree.
That's exactly right. So what are we moving along academically in some fabulous way?
Oh, yeah. We've expanded significantly. We've grown about 15% in the last couple of years, number of students. Faculty have grown about 30%. I think because we have this strange brand of SUNY Binghamton, people kind of wonder, what are you? They sometimes put a P in there, Binghamton.
Well, the Lost Hampton. There's Bridgehampton, right. West Hampton, Southampton, East Hampton, and Binghamton.
Yes.
We were moved by the glacier. We were moved to upstate New York by the glacier.
But the basketball game is going to be a big one. I mean, you just saw we just scored 107 points the other night.
You beat a D3 squad.
You didn't say that.
You beat a
D3.
That's
points.
Great. Nice. That's great. We're not as good as Harvey and I would like us to be, but we're sound academically.
Yeah.
And if we get, I don't know what the number is on this game. It's got to be 30.
I was looking
30.
It up. I can't find it.
Yeah, they haven't released the line yet.
We're an America East team. They're a Big Ten team. But what a wonderful experience for the team.
Well,
to play in that's a brand new gym.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a brand new gym in Evanston.
Well, and then right after that, we play Notre Dame and Michigan before the Christmas break. We've got three huge games.
So are they staying up there?
They're going to come back and forth. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You'd ask, why do you take this game? You take the game for the guarantee.
Sure.
Because you're not going to give your home and home. You can't negotiate.
You don't mean the guarantee
with Michigan.
L, do you?
No, the guarantee money. Oh, okay. To help you recruit.
It's a payday for
that's
us.
That's what you do.
Yes.
If you say to Michigan, okay, we'll go to your place, and then you come to our place, Michigan goes, well, what country are you living in? We're not going to your place. That's not how it works. But I think this is great.
It'll get a lot of attention. And if we can keep, when we played Syracuse, I think it was 5 years ago, I have a picture of the scoreboard. Binghamton 9, Syracuse 3.
Great.
We were ahead 9-3.
We ended up losing by 30.
Boeheim called a timeout. He brought his players over. He screamed at them.
They went 80-9.
They full court pressed us the rest of the game.
That's it. And they won by over. Million.
He was so mad.
All right.
By the way, at halftime, aren't the players on Binghamton's team going to do an analysis of the Miller's Tale?
they can do that.
Yeah. It'd be lovely.
Yeah. What are you
very
and
lovely.
But Tom, this is the last year of Tommy Dempsey's contract, Tony.
So I hope it's renewed.
I just did.
Yeah. Oh, you renewed.
I just renewed him yesterday.
Yeah. Because
breaking news. Congratulations.
I will say this.
You heard it here first.
I am going to say this on the air, and Tommy told me about this. There are 350 D1 basketball teams in the country. We are one of only 35, only 10%, that got cited for having a GPA worth talking about. In other words, we're in the top 10% of our players with grade point average. So that's, you may not win, but you're smart.
And that's a GPA at Binghamton, not a GPA at...
Right. At some lesser public school, like almost every public school is.
And two years of a perfect APR. You know what the APR is,
yes,
right?
I do.
Yes,
I do.
Two 1,000s in a row.
So. Take that, Connecticut.
What is the APR? Forgive me.
That's on academic pace to graduate.
Progress.
That's where.
So they're moving. Yeah,
Jim Calhoun.
It's not like a Bobby Huggins program.
No, basically. Jim Calhoun right. got popped at that at Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, he lost the tournament bid for
so
that.
That's
yeah,
what happened.
Right.
Do we have some news?
We do. Stay with college basketball, Mr. Tony. Big win by the Georgetown Hoyas. Yes. Off to that great 3-0 start and an impressive win on the road against Illinois, 88-80, the final there.
I watched about 15 minutes of that game. Did you?
I did. Those two freshmen.
They run.
Great.
Georgetown is not, Georgetown was never a running team.
No.
They ran. They got 88. That was impressive. You win at Illinois, that's a
legit.
Big deal.
Yeah.
That's good for Patrick. Good for him.
Staying with the locals, the triumphant return for Tom Wilson last night. He scores a goal and helps the Capitals get a win over Minnesota 5-2.
Scored a goal, got a penalty, and got into a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's sort of a normal game for him, right?
That was, you know what? I think it was important for him to get in a fight to show people, hey, they suspended me,
right.
but don't
I haven't
think,
softened.
Don't
right.
think I'm easy now. Now, what's so odd about this is they cut his suspension from 20 games to 14 games.
Except?
He'd already served 16 games.
But he gets the money.
He gets the money. He gets the money back. He gets the money back.
And the timing of it just makes you look at the decision and realize it was far too extreme, but it was when they were beginning a very tough road stretch. And I think they were looking at the standings and realizing we don't want the good feel story of last year, the Capitals, in the middle of their conference, particularly when they have that four-game stretch and they could go even further. So I don't really trust them with how they handled this.
I had absolutely forgotten that he was not on the team. And now I think looking at where they are in the standings, this may if they take off, this you can point to as a very big factor.
Well,
very
the thing
factor.
That was odd to me was that he had appealed, and that, again, this goes. We talk about this all the time with the NHL.
Yeah.
The NHL will say, you know what? We changed our mind yesterday. Boom. So he was suspended 20. He appealed it. It was upheld at 20. And then
it was a knockdown.
Yeah, to Michael's point, they knocked it down. Yeah.
Very strange. To baseball, Mr. Tony. Manager of the Year honors given out last night. Bob Melvin of the Oakland A's takes it for the American League.
Dave Martinez?
Nope. Brian Snitker for
no.
the Braves.
Zero. He got zero votes, justifiably.
Oh. I did go back and forth.
I was a little bit surprised that neither Alex Cora nor Craig Counsell or Kevin Cash. I was surprised on Bob Melvin. Maybe I shouldn't have been. They have no money.
They were not expected to do much of anything.
They did great.
They played great, and then the entire pitching staff was ravaged by injuries, and they continued to win. I think they finished with 97 wins for the
yes.
year.
Yeah.
And listen,
yeah.
you know I'm a Red Sox fan, and I think Alex Cora did a brilliant job. They do the voting before the playoffs, so he doesn't get the credit for doing a great job all through the playoffs. And they had every advantage going into that season.
Better.
Yeah, and they had more money than J.D. Martinez.
These awards that they vote on prior to playoffs and award after the playoffs, to me, always just seem like washed out. I think they do themselves a disservice.
They
want to
keep their sport in the news.
I get it.
But I don't know how much it's worth.
Yes. And it looks like Maryland is hiring a search firm for the next football coach.
Fire the AD.
Yes.
And then bring in some people who you want, and you don't need a search firm. You
no.
don't need a search firm to identify a football player.
Well, anybody who wants this job can have it.
Well, there is one search firm they should use, and that, of course, is ZipRecruiter. It's the only firm,
only
of course.
Only we had a ZipRecruiter yeah. ad
exactly.
right now, they could have used it for free.
Yes,
people
absolutely.
Would send their resumes in.
And a lawsuit, Mr. Tony, CNN suing the White House to regain access for reporter Jim Acosta, and I believe they've retained attorney Ted Olson to head up that case.
This is totally intriguing to me. Ted Olson was the Solicitor General of the United States of America under George W. Bush. You can't get more dyed-in-the-wool Republican, I wouldn't think, than Ted Olson. And you're going after a Republican administration here on behalf of CNN, which is, if there is one sort of flag that the Trump administration has planted above all else, it is the notion of fake news. And it is the notion that who are these people and we can do whatever we want. What do you make of this?
Well,
I don't think
Ted Olson has been strictly down the Republican road.
No?
I think he's had other cases that were bipartisan. Is that right, Bill Isaacson?
We're looking at Bill in the back.
Yeah.
And I would also point out, it wouldn't be the first Republican. I mean, it's not like you got a completely unified Republican party.
No, I understand.
Under Trump
I just filled it on.
Yeah, Ted joined the Prop 8 gay marriage case with my partner David Boies.
Okay, so I'm making too much of Ted Olson doing this.
But Ted did that out of conservative constitutional principles of equality in the Constitution.
Right.
And right now he's defending a constitutional principle that's long established that you can't discriminate based on the content of speech. So you can't get rid of someone because they ask tough questions.
This is Jim Acosta.
Or questions you.
Right. He who had his credentials pulled.
Right.
Right.
And was accused of... of, like, violence, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
ridiculous.
But now the White House has shifted
its
emphasis.
Yeah.
They've walked back the violence because clearly
tape.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
And they've made it that he's disrespectful of the
White
House.
They're saying it's not the content, it's his behavior that they're trying to restrict.
Disrespectful is content.
Yes.
Yeah.
He stands up there like everybody else and asks questions like everybody else.
A little bit more pointedly,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
And which is why CNN wants to reinstate him, because he's ratings gold, Jerry.
Yeah, we all know his name for a reason.
Yeah. Okay, so that's fine. Thank you, Bill, for clarifying that. Are we good?
Yep, that's it.
All right, we're going to get out of here, and we will have Old Guy. And stuffed into Old Guy will be Carville and Jeff Ma.
Theoretically, Carville.
Sportsbook, here we come.
It's a double picks old guy.
I'm so happy I'm here for the sportsbook.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the 23andMe ad. 23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, your sleep quality, your caffeine intake, your sense of taste, whether you're likely to be lactose intolerant, and more. It's easy to do. Yeah, it's easy to do, but you simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit and mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. I would get someone else to do that. In fact, I did. Michael did that for me. The bitter taste report and the sweet versus salty report show how DNA can play a role in determining your food preferences, from sweet to salty to bitter. The deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA, but fails to take into account if you have a 75-pound dog lying on you, impeding any progress you might make towards turning. The saturated fat and weight report tells you, based on your genetics, how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet, and offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you're trying to eat less saturated fat. Now through Thanksgiving, 23andMe Ancestry Service kits are only $49 per kit.
Cheap.
When you buy two or more kits. That's 50% off the regular kit price of $99 during this holiday. So you can order your 23andMe Ancestry Service kit at 23andMe.com/Tony. Use the numbers, 2 and 3. 23andMe.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Bill Medley and Jennifer Warrens, maybe?
That's right.
I had the time of my life. This is from Dirty Dancing, which I've only seen 300 times.
Have you seen this movie?
Only 300 times. Have you seen it?
I've seen the movie.
You don't like the movie.
It's
sort of my life.
It's got musical overtones.
You do hate this song?
I hate this song.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That's why we played it, because we anticipated that. It could have been Three Dog Night. You would have hated that even more.
Please do not tell any camp dance stories.
I will not. Why are we...
the mohair sweaters?
Yeah.
Because on this date in 1987, the soundtrack for
that's
Dirty Dancing hit number one.
Wow.
And originally, they'd approached Bill Medley to do this over a couple of months. He's like, I can't. My daughter's about to be born, and I promise I'll be totally available for that. After the daughter was born, they went back to him and said, will you please do this? Jennifer Warrens wants to do it with you. And so he said, sure, why not? And then the song became just a massive, massive hit.
Yeah.
There's,
I would say that there's a tremendous amount of great songs.
It's the song at the very end, right? Where they're dancing at the very end,
right?
Is that when they play it?
Yes.
Yep.
But the
contours.
The contours, do you love
me?
And then there's just the scene pitiful. With the watermelon.
Yes.
Yes.
The scene with the watermelon is the greatest musical scene
and
in the movie.
Isn't it I'm a Love Man? Isn't
yeah.
their own? Those are great.
Just
songs.
Wonderful. All right. Jeff Ma joins us. Jeff Ma, a classmate at Phillips Exeter, was an emailer yesterday.
That's right.
And a guy you played basketball with showed up here the other day in California. Jeff was 2-3. 2-3-1. He hit the number exactly on the Alabama game, and is 24, 21, and 4 overall, which means you're making money with Jeff Ma. His podcast is called Bet the Process with
Rufus Peabody,
who may or may not exist. What do you got for us, Jeff?
Hopefully I have more winners. It's been a rough 3 weeks. Last week was a little tough. So, you know, this is when you talk about analytics, right, and we talk about getting the best number. Last week we gave out Jacksonville plus 3, right? Two and a half.
That was – You got beat off the end. You got beat on that one.
That was available at 3.
But that was plus 3 most of the week, and when I talked to you guys, it was plus 2.5. So that really shows a little bit about how important it is to sort of get the best number and why, you know, all this stuff with value is so important because – you know, those half points make a big difference.
Well, you got beat on that game by the reversal of the call. You were headed right into overtime where you probably...
Yeah, but 2.5 overtime is not a guaranteed win.
No, but it's still...
Moving forward.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
All right, we're going to start with the Thursday night game, which is Seattle -3 over Green Bay. I like Seattle there. They've actually lost a lot of close games this year. They've played the Rams pretty tight, and they've, you know, when you lose a lot of close games, it makes you kind of underrated because your record is less indicative of your actual performance. And, you know, I think at home, I think they are actually a slightly better team than Green Bay this year. And at home, giving 3 points, I like Seattle there.
Okay, what else?
We're going to go back to Jacksonville.
Really?
Who is their plus 6 over Pittsburgh. And this is just a huge overreaction to, and again, like the NFL season itself is a small sample size. So Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, if you had talked about this game going into the season in Jacksonville, certainly they would not be getting 6 points. It's a crazy amount of points for them to be getting in this situation. As poorly as they play, they're still very talented. And, you know, they're going to be up for this Pittsburgh game for sure. They're going to be focused. This is basically their season. The last time they had a game that was, quote-unquote, their season, it was against the Patriots. They won that game outright, dominated. I like them to keep this game within 6 points against Pittsburgh.
Okay, I mean, but Pittsburgh scored like a billion points the last time they played, and Jacksonville, you maintain your affinity for Jacksonville in this.
Well, it's just the numbers, you know. It's like the spread, and in the case of Pittsburgh too, like that, the last memory that you have of Pittsburgh is them scoring all of those points.
Yes,
that's why you get value here because that's what everyone remembers. You know, there's this thing in classic economics called the availability heuristic, where we tend to place too much probability on something that we can readily remember or see, and that's Pittsburgh scoring a lot of points. So we place too much probability on Pittsburgh scoring a lot of points again.
Okay, keep going.
All right, we got Atlanta -3 over Dallas. Again, similarly, Dallas played amazing against Philly. They were, you know, they looked like a team that had turned things around, but they're still a very, you know, their defense has played well this year, but they're still, I would consider them to be a very mediocre team. Atlanta is super talented still on the offensive side. Our last memory is them not playing particularly well. But, you know, I think at home, only giving 3 points against Dallas, I like Atlanta there.
Okay.
And then we have two more games, and they're both games that, like, you kind of look at and you're a little scared of, right? I like Philly +9 at New Orleans. Similar to what I talked about with Jacksonville, this is a game that, you know, it's an overreaction to what's happened this year. New Orleans is arguably, and I think, one of the top one or two teams between them and the Rams, certainly this year. But Philly is still a very talented team. They haven't played particularly well this year.
No.
With Carson Wentz, but that's why you're getting 9 points. And 9 points is a lot when you think about how good Philly is. No matter how good New Orleans is, 9 points is a lot of points to get in this situation. And they're trying to make sure that there is some money on Philly, right? To get someone to take Philly in this situation, they're going to have to give a lot of points. And for that reason, I think they're giving value.
Okay.
And the last one is a very, very difficult one. It's a team that's obviously let me down the last couple of weeks. But again, like it's just, you know, in what world should Arizona be a 4-point favorite over anyone at this point? So I'm going to take Oakland plus the 4 at Arizona. Certainly the narrative is that Oakland has quit and all that kind of stuff. And this is where, like, maybe sometimes analytics fails you. Like, maybe analytics can't actually, you know, quantify how much Oakland has quit so far. So, you know, it's one of those things that, like, you know, again, like, there's limitations to everything, but I have to think at this point that Oakland plus 4 at Arizona is value simply because Arizona's, I mean, not that good. They're obviously, like, one of the worst teams in the league, if not the second or third worst team in the league, no matter how bad Oakland is. So I'm going to take Oakland plus the 4.
You took Oakland plus 3 at San Francisco. San Francisco won. You took Oakland plus 10, the Chargers. The Chargers won. You won last week with Arizona. Arizona was getting 16.5. You almost lost on the last play, which could have been a pick 6. But you won with that, and you're going to take Oakland.
Well, that's the thing. This is not like a personal ledger where I think about every game, whether I won and lost, right? Like, this is a matter of value. And even in the case of Oakland, if you want to really deconstruct that, they had a great drive to start the game. They went for it on 4th and,
yes,
you know,
yes,
less than a yard, did not get it. They get that. Obviously, that's a much different story, a much different game. So, you know, these things have a way of you know, there's big plays early in games that can decide things and vice versa. So over the course of time, you just hope that you make the right decision. And hopefully here, Oakland plus 4 is the right decision.
So I would mention this one thing, and I don't know how it fits because it has nothing to do with the numbers. John Gruden is not coaching for his job. He's got a 10-year contract. The guy at Arizona may be coaching for his job. How do you factor that, or do you just leave that out?
Yes, it's definitely something I just leave out. I mean, again, when you think about the situation with Oakland, you know, the idea that, like, they are not trying to win this year. You hear that all the time. They're not trying to win. That's not important to them. That's something that, you know, maybe is part of this equation, but maybe isn't, right? And when you think about, again, the analytics, you're just trying to figure out, like, from on the field, like, what is happening. And in this case, like, Arizona's not a very good team. Certainly Oakland isn't either. But, again, the 4 points is just, it's just a lot for Arizona to be giving to anyone at this point.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff's podcast is Bet the Process with Rufus Peabody, who we are willing to believe exists, but we'd like to see him. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls. And if you think that Jeff Ma is just some guy, he is not some guy. Yeah. He is not some guy.
Reed bringing down the house.
Yeah, read that. Yeah. That's his story.
Jeff apparently phoning in from Singapore this morning, given the apparent delay in the phone line there. But nice of him to call.
But we're trying to get now. Oh, by the way, what's interesting to me is lines have moved overnight.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Philly was getting 8. Chuck Todd took New Orleans with Philly getting 8.
Lines are moving all the time. I mean, I should mention this because people ask me.
Chuck
about
Todd
this
took
on
Seattle
Twitter.
2.5, and Jeff Ma has to give 3.
So I look at a site called scoresandodds.com, and it gives you, it sort of aggregates lines that you see across the line. And now I see Seattle anywhere from laying 2.5 to laying 3. Laying 3.5 isn't even there anymore. So
Atlanta, Chuck Todd took Atlanta giving 3.5. And Jeff Ma took it giving 3.
Both are available.
We're going to have to get up to speed on this before we turn this place into a sports.
And to Jeff's point, this is why you would typically shop for lines. I mean, if you knew you wanted Dallas, you'd go to a book where you could get 3.5 versus 3. That half point makes a huge difference.
So here we go. We have James Carville, who shops for lines everywhere.
Well, he just makes his own.
Everywhere.
They come.
I talk into your phone. Okay, what have you got?
What have I got? I got 2 historically bad teams. Houston and Tulane. Houston's a 10-point favorite, I believe.
Okay.
take the Greenies. Houston's best player may not play, and since Tulane's got a different quarterback, and since they've had him, been playing a lot better, and I think that I think they can grab one here. The other one that I like, you know, I don't know how you get the word out of your mouth, but I like Minnesota. They get in. I just said it. I can't believe I said it.
You talking against Northwestern or the Vikings?
Yeah, not that. Against Northwestern.
Okay. How much is Minnesota getting?
I'm seeing 2.5 is what I'm seeing currently. Yeah.
Buy the hook and take them.
All right.
So Minnesota, you wanted three. Minnesota plus three, Northwestern.
Right.
That would be right. Wilbon would go crazy if that happened.
Well, but last week Minnesota beat the snot out of Purdue, who, as we know, I mean, you can't play these games because you end up with, you know, something ridiculous. But I mean, Purdue beat the snot out of Ohio State.
That's right. That's exactly right.
They're at home and they can get a few more wins, and they just traditionally, they're one of the most underperforming schools in big time college football over the years.
What do you think of Nick Saban saying he will play Tua against the Citadel? Why would you do that?
You know, because you're Nick Saban, you just do what you want.
he
might play him for three plays. I mean, he's pretty good at not running up the score. If you look at Alabama, they'll have somebody down 48-0 at the end of the first half, and they win the game, you know, 58-0.
Yes, he doesn't run it up.
I don't know, but it just said Saban's going to do something really, really stupid out of line. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think you have Tua in there, like, crazy. You know, firing long shots or something. Like, you know, some coaches may say, look, I want him to get a couple of series in. Just want to get rusty.
Well, I think if Jalen Hurts was healthy, he would simply play Jalen Hurts. But I don't know. Those two games, you got anything else? Or just those two?
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the pro game. Because it's such a good one, you know, the Rams and the Chiefs on Monday night, I think they're playing in Mexico City.
No, they've changed it. They're in L.A. They're in L.A., and now the Chiefs are getting 3.5.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just go with the two I had. I'm sorry.
You would have bet the Rams?
In Mexico City, I would have, but I'm not giving the Chiefs 3.5 points.
It's wise.
That's a little out of time, out of whack.
I do.
How about, James, did you see the total in that game? 64. It's like the highest total in a regular season NFL game
it's
in
really
a
long
big. Time.
Yeah, Rams, you know, we ran on them pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes, their defense is not particularly good. It's not. It really isn't.
We had a Saints in y'all's pantheons of things. I haven't talked about them lately.
The Saints have been great, and their defense has been better each week. All right, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
James Carville woke up.
You wouldn't know 20 minutes ago. He had no idea he was doing that. It sounded prepared.
Nobody is giving you lines on the Houston Tulane game.
No.
Nobody. That's
a deep cut, as they say in the industry.
All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with what? With a jingle?
Yes, a jingle about betting.
About betting.
Yeah, very fitting. Mr. Tony Sportsbook.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
No cobble picks his own lines, Tigers plus 39, the man from meet the press, don't talk about the government. Now just in a trench coat, deflecting what the monkey throw is burning room like Neil Rover, set the board to zero. Comes Jeff Mob at the process, y'all. Rufus, what's his name? Tony forgot once again. Chuck Todd is wavering, indecisive gambling. We're afraid to pick the Ravens, worried about Big Ben. We might be better off with that hack from CNN.
This is great.
Yes, it is.
Oh, what did Carvel just say? Holding his from sideways. Sheehan's on the short side, betting heavy against the tide. The monkey's laughing all the day, catching shows of Broadway, laying back like Smoking Jay and hanging with Hemingway. One Jeff Mob dropping knowledge on you all, like Duesberg and Uncle B. Watch out for the DKE. Be sure the Cajun knows you gotta ride the ebbs and flows. Keep a clean nose, try to juxtapose, and don't let a weatherman tell you where your money goes.
Patrick Moffitt,
that is brilliant.
That is
really
amazing.
It's a top five.
Yeah.
That is a top five. He said, this is my Dylan tribute to all the TK Show gamblers out there. May we all go down as we ride the slow death into the black hole. May we continue to try to figure out what the hell Carvel has just said. So,
and might need to post those lyrics.
He did not miss a beat.
Yeah, that's really
delivering
good.
That. Pretty
Let strong. Me thank Chuck Todd. Let me thank James Carvel. Let me thank Jeff Ma. Let me thank Harvey Sanger for showing up today. And don't forget to check out Jeff's podcast, Bet the Process. Today, our sponsors to be thanked are SeatGeek, Bespoke Post, and 23andMe. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. Kellen in the audience, it's his birthday, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kellen. And as a program reminder, we will be doing a show on Friday.
But in Chicago.
In Chicago, not here. Back in studio next week.
And Monday.
Yes.
Yeah. From Greg Metz of Nestle's Ice Cream in Fort Wayne, Ooh. Indiana. He's the warehouse supervisor.
Send us a box of that.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, they wouldn't even miss it.
It's Grunfeld, baby. Drafted Wall, could have had DeMarcus Cousins or Gordon Hayward. Drafted Vezeli, could have had Kemba Walker, Klay Thompson, or Kawhi Leonard. Drafted Beal, could have had Damian Lillard or Harrison Barnes. Drafted Porter, could have had Antetokounmpo. Ooh.
Oof.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's a bit of a
How about a team with them? How about a team with
That's
them?
That's a tough game to play in the NBA, though.
Yes, it is. From Doug in Old Town Alexandria, I, too, enjoy numbers. Yesterday, I was pleased to notice this palindrome on my Gmail app, Ask Michael 44044. Knowing that there were 44,044 unread emails in one's inbox might cause great anxiety for some littles. I, however, take great pride in knowing time has not been wasted opening junk email. In addition, I am presented with an ever-changing group of numbers every time I look at my phone. What a world. From Mike Villarosa in Chicago. Hopefully, Michael does not disregard this email as he has done with my last 15 emails. I would like to invite you and Wilbon in for
Blame
dinner
Nigel.
At the restaurant I am the chef de cuisine at in Chicago called Swift & Sons. Seeing as you are a sucker for the palm, I can only assume you'd be happy here. It would be a pleasure to have you both in, as I've been a fan for over a decade. Feel free to have your assistant, Michael, email me. It is listed below. Michael's going to be there. We're all coming.
Yeah. So apparently I'm your assistant.
We're all showing up. From Scott Moffitt in Richmond, Virginia. Three Dog Night will be playing in Richmond at the Carpenter Theater on January 17th. Please let me know how many tickets you would like to order. If that doesn't work, they'll also be at the Birchmere on February 17th.
Ooh. Oh, I don't go to Virginia.
Is that how that works?
I can't figure out how to get over the bridge.
From Rick French, who appears to be in a foreign country, right? It looks like a French address.
Okay.
Right?
All right, yes.
Less important than the NFL, Quebec? But more important than the association. This year is very special in calculating one age. Take the year of your birth and add your age. 2018 for everyone. Happens every 1,000 years. Go figure. Consume it, Salizzo. Do that. Add your age. Take the year of your birth and add your age. What do you get?
Take the year of my birth and add my age. And what did he say? It comes to, in my case,
2018.
It comes to 118.
2018. Something 18.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Scott Ferguson, San Antonio, Texas. Your esteemed NFL guest picker, Chuck Todd, has this very show listed on his Wikipedia page as other professional ventures. Todd picks NFL football games for Tony Kornheiser on his podcast, The Tony Kornheiser Show. Each week, Todd is pitted against Reginald, a monkey who also picks NFL games. I wonder how many people read that statement and wonder, what kind of program are you running? Do sponsors just jump at the idea of Chuck Todd picking NFL games against a primate? Now, we all know both Reginald's and Todd's prowess, but maybe this email could serve as a calling card for all littles to update Todd's Wikipedia page to reflect the true value their segment has to your lovely little pod. Be creative. P.S. I haven't bothered to check Saliza's page.
We're going to have to issue a cease and desist, right? You can't have him riding on your coattails, Chuck Todd.
No, that's
gotta
fine.
Make his own
I think
deal.
That's wonderful. From Sylvester Bush, high school teacher and the presumptive official adult kickball umpire of the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yes.
Last night I called a game between two teams, one of which was somewhat cleverly named the One Kick Wonders. You see what they did there? I decided to up the level of wit not twice, but thrice, by referring to them as the One Kick O'Neaters. On all three occasions, none of my team's players picked up what I was putting down. Meanwhile, the opposing team was full of laughs and respectful nods in my direction. Care to guess which way the calls went that night? Get me a gunmetal 120-tooth ratchet. Because the fix was in, Spartacus. It's a great movie.
Spartacus.
If you
great.
Haven't seen, right, it is a great,
it's a perfect
great
movie.
Movie.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Tom Hanks wrote it.
Yes.
It's just brilliant. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What a waste of time.
Thank you.
Cut.
Thank you.
again.